Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. It's time for the BAQA, the BAQA. What you say? The BAQA with Manday. The BAQA and Tiffany ain't here. Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Mandy Money. I am here riding solo for this episode of the BAQA, missing my better half. However, what do we do when one of us is not feeling up to it? We got each other's back. So I am very excited to be here for today's career themed episode of Brown Ambitions QA. Just a reminder, if you guys have not been, if this is your first time listening to the show, it's your first introduction, let me just clarify something with you. We ain't your financial advisor. We ain't your lawyer. We are not your gynecologist. We're not your therapist. We're not your doctor. So when we give advice on the show, it is just meant to be for entertainment, enlightenment purposes. Okay. Use it for inspo. We can't know every single thing that is right for you, but we can definitely give you our best ideas. And just based off of our own advice and expertise in our different fields. When it comes to career stuff, I do qualify myself as an expert because I had a great career. I have a great career and I help other ambitious women create incredible careers of their own. So I love getting these questions. I hope that you guys find it helpful. If you want to submit a question to the podcast to be answered, it's super easy. Slide into our DMs at Brown Ambition Podcast and our wonderful assistant will direct your questions into the mailbag. And then we just kind of pick each week which questions we want to answer. And this week, two incredible questions have been highlighted. We got one that deals with a really important topic, which is what happens and how can I, you know, create a career when I actually have a physical, a health condition that limits my physical abilities. And then we also have a question about someone who's got access to one of the dinosaurs of workplace benefits called a pension plan and wants to know, is it juicy enough to keep her there or can she entertain other job offers? So let's get on into it. Let's start with question. This comes from someone who wants us to call her Mama Bear. Okay, from one Mama Bear to another. Mama Bear says, hey, Brown Ambition, I have a career question. When do you disclose a medical condition to your boss? In this situation, a 27-year-old was diagnosed with MS in 2021. Recently, she's having difficulty with basic physical tasks and has a noticeable limp, awkward walking / altered walking / moves much slower due to MS or another yet to be diagnosed condition. She was recently hired for a role that requires intermittent physical movement, including walking, lifting heavy equipment during about half of her work days. She's 1 month into this new career and is excited about it, but she's worried that her medical condition may impede her performance. People are noticing. When asked, she told them something but didn't fully disclose what was happening. She's in a right-to-work state, and hopefully as the doctor / medicine / treatments are figured out, she will be physically better and can do the work. How do you best navigate this landmine of a conversation? Signed, Mama Bear. Okay, Mama Bear, I'm going to guess this is your daughter. And it's just, first of all, your daughter's only 27 years old. And our people getting diagnosed with MS that young is just wild to me. And I think on the bright side, you know, there's a lot more awareness about multiple sclerosis these days. We have, you know, celebrities like Christina Applegate and Selma Blair, but then also our own first lady, the queen of everything in my mind, Michelle Obama, talks about her dad's struggle with MS, even as she was a kid growing up. There's a lot more progress, I think, being made when it comes to like treating people with MS. I don't personally have experience with MS, but if you zoom out of this, it's not so much about the name of her condition. It's the fact that she has a medical condition, which is a private one, and it can remain so. And there are protections. There's something called the ADA, the American Discrimination Act. Is that what it's called? I know it's ADA, but what does it stand for, though? Let me check. Oh, the American Disabilities Act. Okay. Hey, BA fam, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. All right, BA fam, you know we work hard and we play hard, but when it comes to investing and having your money in the market, you want your money to be working for you. That's exactly what the Betterment Automated Investment and Savings app can help it do. Keeps your money out there working hard and kicking you know what. I love Betterment because it makes it easy for even a beginning investor to figure out how to put their money in the market and set it and forget it and be at peace with that, because you know Betterment has got you covered with their automated investment and savings app. Their technology is going to give you advanced tools that are built to help you maximize those returns. All you got to do is visit Betterment.com to get started. Learn more about high yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank. So the ADA basically protects employees from being discriminated against. As long as they are qualified to do the job, they can't be discriminated against for any sort of quote unquote disability. We shouldn't be calling it that, I know, but different ability. So if that's issues with vision, hearing, physical movement, if you need a cane or a walker, or, you know, you need special equipment, that you cannot be fired, specifically for that reason. So I had to do a little bit of, I wanted to understand really how the law can be applied in a situation, where jobs like absolutely need someone to be physically able to do the work. For example, I imagine you'd have a hard time getting hired by like a UPS or a FedEx to be working in the warehouse if you're not able to physically lift the boxes and the whatever you need, the packages into the trucks to be delivered, right? So there is actually an allowance for companies to put on job descriptions if it's a legitimate requirement that you must be able to lift so-and-so, you must be able to stand for so many hours. And I think that that's fair enough, because in some jobs there does need to be a physical requirement. My question for you and your daughter is, she's so young and carving out her career. I know that you guys are, I mean, MS is just this, from what I understand, it's not a disease where you just, here's the treatment for it, and we put a bit, you just get this medication and that's what it is. It's not like you just get amoxicillin and you're done. Go fight the infection. It is so complex, and it's so individually complex that she may have her own treatment plan, and that can change and it probably will change as she ages and as the science develops, I hope, to improve treatments for her disease. I think it's a really crucial, probably difficult conversation to have, because you're 27. You don't want any limits on your career. And I don't think she should have any limits on her career. But I do think that the same way that, you know, I approach my career, like, hey, I'm not great at accounting. So I'm probably not going to go into learning accounting or becoming a CPA. I'm not great at, well, I'm so not great at so many things. What do I choose? I'm not great at a sport. So I'm probably not going to go into a field that requires any sort of coordination and physical like sport activity. So I think that she doesn't need to see it as like a something that's going to hold her back, but just some information about herself and how she can best thrive in a workplace and for her own happiness. You just don't want to be in a workplace where you feel like you are not giving your best or not able to deliver the same as your colleagues, because you're just not made the same way. We're all different, right? What I will say is, at this stage, she is well within her right to keep the information private. I just don't want her to get hurt by doing that, because at the end of the day, who is she protecting with that information? If she goes to her HR or to her manager and says, "Hey, I want to disclose. I want to disclose that I have been diagnosed with MS. Here's what that means. Here's what my doctors have said. I am going to now ask you to make some accommodations because I have this diagnosis." She is well within her right. And as long as she is still qualified to do the parts of the job that they're requiring her to do, they can't legally do anything about it. Like, they have to be okay with that. And I just don't want her to be unsafe, because what if they're asking her to do something that she can't do and she hurts herself? Or, you know, or just like the mental toll of like, can I do this thing? Yeah. And just that discomfort of saying that you can do something when you really don't know, is your body, are you going to wake up that day able to do it? Which I don't think of people with MS know every day what it's going to be like. You may have good days and bad days. Having a boss who understands that, you're going to give them an opportunity to make accommodations for you and to be flexible for you. I can give an example as a leader. When I was managing a big team, one of my number two, after she was hired, I forget at what point, but came to me and said, "I have a medical condition that I'm not giving her name, so I'll just say it was endometriosis," which is, if you're a woman, you should know about endometriosis. It's a very painful condition that affects your menstrual cycle. It affects your fertility for so many different things, but it's also extremely painful. And when you're in that type of pain, you can't show up to the office. And this was pre-COVID. So we were come to work every day, be in the physical meetings, come to the happy hours kind of vibe, right? And so it was, a request of hers, like, when I'm having these bad days, then I'm going to need to work from home. Is that okay? And I was like, of course. But I had an opportunity to like make an accommodation, and I did. And I did a little bit of research on this just to make sure, often when it comes to MS, a common accommodation is to work from home, because, you know, you may feel fatigue is a big symptom, also pain, and that pain can manifest in different ways. So it may be that your daughter wants to move forward in her career, kind of carving out a way that she can work from home, or at least have like a hybrid work situation. At the very least, work for, you know, a company that has management that is going to accommodate her and be like understanding when it's a bad day. For her own good, I don't want to make this about, you know, you could go, like I said, in the negative sort of lane of, oh, this is going to hold me back from so much. I wanted this kind of career for myself. Don't think that way. I think the mindset has to be, I'm going to make this work for me as I am. I'm an individual, but I have every right to have an amazing career in whatever field that she's in. In spite of this different ability that I have and this disease that I'm contending with. And you got to take charge of it yourself and kind of move empowered, move with a sense of, let's figure this out. And ideally, she has an employer who is going to be on board with that and wants to help her. Be prepared, I would say, to have an employer who doesn't understand MS. I mean, you're kind of the same way you're asking me this question. If I was your manager, I'd be like, okay, I want to find out everything I can about your condition. And I want you to also help educate me so that we can create an environment that is, you know, conducive to you and makes you comfortable. And that may mean, you know, even paying for a certain equipment. Like, you know, if you want to work from home, they need a special equipment, like a special computer or whatever, a workstation that they can, you know, spend a few hundred dollars to do that, to accommodate you. Companies I've seen do that many times over. On the off chance that you're working and they don't want to accommodate you, or they say, okay, we respect this, but given the requirements of this job, you're not qualified to complete the tasks that are required. This is the point where I think it would be smart for you to go in ahead of time, like really well educated on ADA the American Disabilities Act and what is protected and what isn't. Like I said, if it's a job where like they were very specific, you need to be able to do this type of physical labor. And that's a big chunk of what the job is. I know you say that it's about half of her day. That's a pretty significant amount of time. Then they may be within their rights to say, unfortunately, you're no longer able to do what's necessary for this role, but it would be in their best interest, I would say, and yours, for them to find a better fit for you at the same company. And I would want to, if it was me, if it was my daughter, I'd want to help her kind of do her own research before having the conversation and figure out maybe she could even come to the table with a suggestion. This may not be the best long-term fit for me, but how about I check in with you once a month and just let you know how I'm doing, and we can sort of stay ahead of it. And then if things start, you know, really deteriorating to where I can't actually consistently show up and do what I need to do, then here's an idea about transferring me to this other department, this other team. Where can we use my talents in the best way so that I can deliver for you guys, and that you guys, you know, are getting your business goals met, but I'm also bringing value to the team. It is a really complex conversation, but I would not shy away from it. Like I said, it's your baby, it's your daughter, and she needs to be safe, and they need to know not to ask her to do certain things, and understand, you know, don't treat and not be able to judge her negatively if she's like, feel like, oh gosh, this girl again is calling out sick or saying she needs to work from home. Like, oh, what is going on? If you just give them the information, then they can be more generous with you. I hate to say it, but human nature is to sometimes think the worst of people who you know, are not showing up to work the way that they think that they should be and all that. But if they just know what's going on, they can be much more sympathetic and empathetic to her. And that ultimately, I think, is just going to be better for her, healthier for her. She'll feel safer and supported. And if she's not getting what she needs from this place, then hopefully she can find, well, not hopefully, she's going to find something else for sure, where she'll be able to, find a job that's a good fit for her as she deals with these conditions. And listen, as we know in this country, healthcare is tied to our work. So she has to work, right? It's survival. It's like for her, all these bills she's going to be ringing up, like she's going to need to work. Unless it comes to a point where she's so debilitated, I pray it won't ever happen, but that she will need some sort of like social services to help. And then there's options for that, Medicare, Social Security, all of that. But as I don't think that you're even close to that. I think as a mom, you know, you may just be like thinking of worst outcomes because it's your baby and you're so scared for her. But at the same time, I think I would be really optimistic, because that's going to help her stay optimistic and just say like, we can figure this out. You know, don't keep it a big, hairy, scary secret. Let's be transparent. Let's go in with like a solution oriented mindset and just say, hey, this is what I'm capable of. I can still contribute so much. Here's where I can do it. Here's what I think. Get the advice from your medical team as well and bring that to the table and let your employer in on that so that they can be a supporter as well. Thank you, Mama Bear, for sending this question. I know that so many of our listeners are either dealing with something, maybe it's an invisible ailment like MS can be, or maybe it's just you have a loved one who's dealing with it and you've seen it affect their career. This is not uncommon. I mean, you never know what people are going through. So I'm glad you asked. And if you're someone who's listening right now and there's something that you're holding back from your employer because you're afraid of repercussions, educate yourself on your protections too. And think about, are you doing more harm than good by keeping it a secret? And what good can come of it if you open up and let them in and let them see what you're going through? You may find on the other side, there's understanding, compassion, flexibility waiting for you. Okay. Thank you so much for your question, Mama Bear. And we'll take a quick break, take a little woo-saw, and be right back for question number two.
Hey, BA fam. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. That's incredible. This is according to Indeed data and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 150 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Okay, it's smart. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Brown Ambition. Just go to Indeed.com/Brown Ambition right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Brown Ambition. Terms and conditions apply. You need to hire. You need Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
All right, BA fam, we are back with another question. I recognize this IG handle, City Flor. I think you have sent a question before, but I'm excited to hear from y'all again. You say, hey, Mandy and Tiffany, y'all are my favorite podcasters of all time. Oh, I seriously love you guys. Thank you. That's so sweet. All right. I have a career dilemma and need your help. I work at a big company and they've offered great benefits. One of them is a 6% retirement match and a pension plan after 3 years. One of them is a 6% retirement match in a pension plan after 3 years of employment. I'm going to be at 2 years this September. My dilemma is I've been getting a lot of, in Mandy's words, juicy job offers on LinkedIn that offer a minimum 100K and great benefits slash work balance. They're 100% remote, etc. I'm currently making a little over 80K and I'm coming into the office 3 days a week. It's enticing to consider one of these other offers, but I don't want to forego the money the company has been putting into my retirement and the pension plan, especially since I've only got a year and change left to be vested. What advice would you give me? Please help. Many thanks. City Flor. Okay. I love this question. I love a company that offers not only a match for your retirement contributions, but a pension plan of their own. That's incredible. I want to know more about the details of your retirement match and of the pension plan. I need to understand that to give you like a really specific answer to your question, but I'll do my best. Okay. So when it comes to your 401k match, and a pension plan, the key word you mentioned it is vested. Are you actually vested? You say that after 3 years of employment, you have access to a pension plan. So I'm going to make an assumption here that in order to even have a pension plan, you have to work through 3 years. Then the company starts making an employer contribution to a pension for you. At that point, you're still not vested. There's going to be a vesting schedule for that pension. So the employer may be making contributions to your pension for years of employment. This happens in a lot of public sector fields, a lot less common in private sector, but hey, you found a little unicorn of your own. However, they're making these contributions, but you may not have access, or you will not have access to those funds until you are vested. All right. Now, your retirement match, this is when a company says, if you put in a certain amount of money to your retirement each month, we will match that up to, in your case, 6% of your contribution. We will contribute up to 6% of whatever you do, or it can vary the language. But they're going to be matching what you're putting into your 401k to a certain extent. But even that match can be on a vesting schedule. So even if they're like, we're going to cover 100% up to 6% of your contribution, they can still say, but you can't touch that money that we put in until you have been vested for, or until you've been here for 10 years, then you're fully vested, or it'll probably be less than that, but you catch my drift. What I call this situation, it's actually a really positive one, because this baby girl gives you leverage. That's my favorite word. It gets me up in the morning. It gives me life leverage, baby, leverage. Here's what happens. When you are applying for these other jobs, or you're not even applying, you're just getting little, like, you're getting nice, juicy offers on LinkedIn, probably because you have a great profile that is specific about what skills you bring to the table, and the jobs, the people who are looking for talent and posting jobs, they are finding your profile and reaching out to you. Amazing. That's a great sign that you have a strong, you know, profile, a strong brand professionally, and also that your skills are in demand. Love that for you. However, what that means for the people trying to poach you, which is what they're trying to do, they're trying to get you to leave your comfortable job with the 6% match, with the promise of a pension, with the decent salary of 80K. They're trying to get you to leave that job. And do you know what all these delicious things on your plate, all these benefits that you have, what that's telling them is, oh, city floor, that floor is not going to be an easy catch. We're going to have to bring the best, juiciest benefits and compensation to the table to get her to even consider taking our offer. That's leverage, baby. And that is when I say you can quit your way rich. What I mean is, when you are willing to walk away from a job or even interview while you already have a job, it just puts you in a much more powerful position because they already expect to have to, you know, win you over versus someone who is applying to a job and they've recently been let go or it's their very first job. And the company is then thinking, oh, well, there's nothing else they have, so let's just give them the market value that we think is best for them. But you have a current market value, okay? So what I would do is I would not let your pension or your match stop you from job hunting. That would be career suicide in a couple of ways. One, even though your company is giving you great benefits, they can still lay your ass off and will and did and has and will always. Companies constantly will reorg, have an acquisition, sell off a part of their company, the economy changes, you can be extremely disposable. So you want to keep your options open. You want to take those interviews. You want to keep in contact with recruiters, hiring managers elsewhere. You want to do it just for your, for everything from interview experience to actually having competitive job offers that make sure that you are getting paid market rate for your skills constantly versus staying loyal to your employer and being at the mercy of what they consider you to be worth, being at the mercy of those bullshit, you know, cost of living adjustments, if you're lucky, in January each year, that's like 2% or nothing that's ever going to match what the real cost of living adjustment is. Okay. Thanks, inflation. So when you're looking at this, you want to take these other job opportunities and you want to go into it. Obviously, you want to find the right fit for you, even if it's $100,000 they're offering. Look at their benefits package and keep in mind, do they offer a match? Okay, do they offer a pension plan? No. Now, you may think, okay, I do have a pension right now, or I could have a pension right now, and I do have this 6% match. Even if you're not vested, and I have done this myself, even if you're not vested, you can still negotiate for them to make you whole for any money you're leaving on the table. So just the fact that, like, let's say you have $10,000 of a retirement match that you're not vested into, so you can't do anything with it, but it's a carrot that your company's dangling in front of you to keep you there. It's called a retention kind of benefit. They want you to stay with them. They're making it a little bit harder for you to leave by giving you this match and saying, you can't have it yet, but stay with us for another 3 years. And we're going to make sure that we squeeze every bit of talent out of you while you're here. The other company that's trying to poach you may be willing to just snatch that carrot for you and just give you their own carrot. So let's say you've got 10K in this retirement match that is you're not vested into, you can't access it. Company B, who's trying to poach you, could say, oh, well, we'll give you a 10K signing bonus. So not only do you get another job with juicy benefits, but they're literally like advancing you the money in your retirement match that you wouldn't even have access to now if you stayed. Okay, so I did this personally, one of my last job switches. I think I had something like $100,000. I'm just in my business. I had like $100,000 worth of equity in the company that had been given to me that wasn't vested yet. It wasn't going to be fully vested for like 4 years. It was going to be incremental, which is how it typically happens. So every year I would potentially have $25,000 that I could vest or access. That's if the stock market thought it was valued at $100,000, you know, like that's if the stock continued to perform well, it could have done even better than that, but it also could have done way worse. And when I was interviewing and about to take a job, I was like, well, I've got 100K worth of equity. So let me get 100K of your equity, please. And they were like, okay. And I think I forget what the mix was, but it was a lot of equity they gave me. And not just equity, I also asked for a cash advance. So not just give me your own equity, but like, hey, make me whole. Like, write me a check for the money that I'm leaving on the table. Even though, this is crazy, but even though that equity could be worth less than it is right now, if I were to stay here, I'm still risking losing it by coming to your company. And so at that position, at that time, they were like, okay, understood. Here's a check for such an amount of money and we'll give you this much equity. So that's why I call it leverage. This is a good problem, baby girl. It's a good problem to have. I want more of y'all to have the problem that Floor has. Okay, take notes. When you have these juicy benefits, and the reason you should be fighting for them when you're negotiating your compensation package, it's because think about what leverages can give you in a future, you know, negotiation with another company that wants you. And it's not all about job hopping. It ain't all about quitting. I'm not someone who's saying quit willy-nilly just for a dollar bill. I never have been. All this great resignation BS, all this, you know, millennials quit, Generation Z, all they do is quit and job hop. I've never bought into any of that. This is smart, strategic career management to keep your options open, to have a healthy network of people who are ready to support you so that not if, but when a company does what a company does, which is treat their employees like a part of their business that is disposable, if no longer providing the return on investment that they need for Wall Street, for their investors, for their own bottom line, like when that happens, and I say when, because it's, hold on, the screen just went dark. You there? Am I still here? Okay. When that happens, and it probably will happen over the course of your career, you're going to be ready because you're going to have a bunch of recruiters who have reached out to you over the years that you've taken their calls. You've gone on those coffee interviews, those phone screens. You've kept their email address because you're a smart cookie. You've kept their phone number, whatever. You can reach out to them and say, hey, this has just happened, but I'm available if you have anybody else in your network that you're recruiting for. Hiring managers, like, be good at your work. Make sure people remember you for being brilliant at your work. When you get laid off, if you get let go or whatever, it won't matter to them because they're going to know you. They're going to be rooting for you and they're going to be there to help you and lift you up, carry you on the fast track to your next opportunity. That's why it's so important to put yourself in a strong bargaining position by negotiating the heck out of your current job offer and getting what you're really worth, you know? So I love this question. Thank you so much, Floor, for listening, for being such a valued part of the BA fam and for always supporting and loving us and for apparently taking our advice because you're killing it if this is where you're at in your career. And I'm excited, really excited to hear what may come of any of these conversations you may be having with people who are interested in working with you. And just to close out, I will also add that if you haven't thought of it this way, definitely if you've been listening to the show, you've probably heard me say it before, but even entertaining outside job offers, it's not about taking another offer. It can be about making sure that you know what your current market rate is because your company gave you your salary right now based on salary data from almost 2 years ago, right? If you're in a certain kind of field, your value may have gone up. It may be more expensive. There may be more rare. You may have developed new skills that have made you more rare, more unique, more specialized than when you were first hired. So when you get another company to you interview with them and they do their assessment of your skills and the job opening and they're like, oh, we think you're worth 125, you know, you can actually take that offer back to your manager and say, like, I'm really happy here, but I've gotten an offer or I'm even, you don't even need an offer. You can just say I'm being, you know, approached by a company that's saying that they would, you know, give me like 50K more, 25K more, whatever. Can we talk about my career trajectory here, my compensation here? And is there flexibility? Is there an opportunity to increase my compensation just to be in line with what the market rate is? And that, again, gives you leverage with your current employer. Oh, I love talking about this stuff. But yeah, thank you, Floor, so much. This has been so fun. If you guys want to submit your questions, you can reach us at Brown Ambition Podcast on IG. You can also send us an email. We are brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. Until next Friday, BA Q&A fam. I will see y'all. Bye. Mm-hmm.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.